We're delighted that this morning Peter Coombs is going to be preaching for us. So he will be coming to share what God has laid on his heart this morning, straight after these readings. But our first reading is from the book of Micah, and we'll remain seated for this.
I'm reading the words of the prophet Micah. They're from the Good News Bible. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then his fellow countrymen who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness. And he will bring peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
An opening prayer. Having heard your word read, please help us to understand it better and to live it day by day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Donald Coggan, Archbishop of Canterbury back in the 1960s, was both a scholar and a very good and thoughtful preacher. This was his advice for preachers. He said, "Let your opening remarks be interesting. Let your closing remarks be challenging. And let there be not too much between the two." Here is the sermon in the spirit of Donald Coggan. Our son Ian was an August baby, born in the maternity hospital at Beckenham in Kent, where I was a curate at the time. Question. Where was I when Catherine was delivered of our precious firstborn? Answer. I was playing tennis. It was the semi-final of our parish annual tennis tournament. And of course, that's where I needed to be that afternoon. And as I recall, no one queried my decision that day. Because that was then, and this is now. Things are far different today, and the attendance of a father at the bedside, or even helping with the delivery, is the norm, so I gather. Because expectant mums need all the support and encouragement it's possible to provide. Which is why in our gospel reading, we learned of the visit of Mary, chosen to be the mother of Jesus, the visit of Mary to the home of her cousin Elizabeth, who lived up country, also expecting a baby, the future John the Baptist. They came together, presumably, to chat, to share their experiences of being expectant mums, to exchange advice as they awaited the arrival of their babies. Two very wise women, not relying on their own instincts and knowledge, but being willing and open to share them with somebody else at that special time in their lives. And that fact really stands at the heart of what I want to share with you this morning. I mean, the wisdom, the necessity, the benefits of sharing with others concerns and problems that are on our hearts and minds as we live our lives in 21st century England, against a background, it has to be said, of great uncertainty, of unexpected happenings in our distracted world. Back to the gospel reading. Did it cross your mind, I wonder, as we heard the words of the gospel, that one of the two babies being nurtured by those two mums, one of the babies was going to be beheaded, and the other baby was going to be crucified? That's a fact. Did Elizabeth and Mary have any thoughts along those lines, I wonder, as they chatted together? Let me put it like this, to bring it all nearer home. Life is full of uncertainties. And have you noticed that life has its own way of setting what you might call examinations for us in life? Maybe every 5 or 10 years or so, and we find ourselves in situations that we wouldn't choose for ourselves, to do with health, maybe, or finance, or aging, or bereavement, or faith. Things that need facing up to. And how much better do we face up to them with the help of others? That's the point. I sometimes think that here at St. John's, on a Sunday morning, however helpful the sermon, however inspiring the worship, however relevant the readings, nevertheless, it could be that we are helped most on a Sunday morning by a quiet conversation here in one of the pews after the congregation's left. I've seen it happening. Or a visit to the prayer corner and the unburdening of a problem. Or simply a chat with a friend outside with a cup of coffee in hand. Especially if we live alone. Especially if we live alone. Take a lesson from Mary and Elizabeth. It's good to talk. It's good to talk. And of course, by the same reasoning, it is good to listen. Are we also willing to lend somebody else our ears? Even if there are other things we ought to be getting on with. Put it like this. We all need other people to be ourselves. And other people need us to be themselves. In our gift of time and the listening ear. I think the key is generosity. Generosity in all things. Archbishop Donald Coggan, I said, recommended the conclusion of a sermon with a bit of a challenge to the congregation. Now let me see. This conclusion may not at first seem very relevant, but I think it is. I get my daily papers delivered by probably one of the least reliable paper boys in Locksheath. So often my papers go elsewhere. Other people's papers come to me on my doormat. Now, I'm in the habit of giving paper boys a Christmas box each year. And this year I paused, envelope in hand. My first thought was to halve what I had in mind to give. My second thought was to double what I had in mind. I put in double. Here's my papers, boys. Thank you card. Let me open it up and read it to you. Dear number 94. As you know, I live at 92. Thank you for your Christmas tip. Regardless of how many of your papers I got wrong. This is the bit. It really means a lot to me. What about that? It really means a lot to me from your paper boy. Moral, as I close, if we give other people some of our time, more than we intended, it for them, I'm sure, will really mean a lot. Amen.